Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, folks, welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally for this Wednesday, May the 9th, 2018. Brad and Dalton here with you, and we're almost all baseballed and softballed out, Dalton.
Yeah, well, you know, we got the good ones coming up this week and next week. So.
We do. We had some good ones last week. I think I covered 5 games and 6 nights last week. You probably did the same thing.
It's about
thing.
The same for me, yeah.
Then we covered Monday because we had some game threes with softball that either were scheduled for Monday or got pushed to Monday, and some baseball, too, because we had the weather that came in Saturday. It rained. Except I did still cover a game Saturday despite the rain because Houston's like, yeah, we're going to play softball.
Yeah, mine started at 8 p.m., I think.
Yeah, and your North Pontotoc Houston baseball game got pushed back to because of the weather. So a few games get in Saturday, but everybody else that needed to finished up Monday. So, yeah, we're in the midst of that. We've got the softball finals coming up this week in Starkville and Hattiesburg. We don't care about Hattiesburg, though, because none of our teams are down there. And then we've got the baseball North finals coming up this week as well. That's going to be the main topic of discussion. It's a crazy time of year. We got all the tennis and golf and track and field championships that have gone on. If you want to know who won all those, go to DJournal.com because it's a lot that I can't remember right now.
A lot of individual tennis winners that are it just keeps going down my feed, more and more winners.
Exactly. Yeah, that's been going on today, Wednesday. The teams played Monday to decide those champions there. I think we had 3 in tennis. See, this is why I wasn't going to start mentioning people. I'll forget somebody. We had New Albany, Lafayette, and TCBS. That's who it was in tennis. I think that's it.
I think you're right, too.
We're going to talk, yeah, mostly about the ball and stick sports and a little bit about football. There is some football to talk about. There's always football to talk about, though, if you try hard enough. Before we move on, we want to remind you that you can catch this podcast every Wednesday. You can find it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or you can stream it online on your computer, preprally.djournal.com. You can follow us on Twitter, @djournalpreps. Tell your friends about DJournal Preps. I've seen the follow count go up in the playoffs, Dalton. We're over 1,000 followers now.
My following count's gone up a lot, too.
Mine probably has, too. I've got so many, Dalton, I don't really notice. It's just, no. But, yeah, do please follow us there. We'll have updates, of course, on all things high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, and that's also where we'll tweet out the link to the podcast every week. So let's start with the softball. The 1A and 3A finals are what concern us this week. That's where we have teams. Both of those series start Thursday. They will be played on the Mississippi State campus in Starkville. Of course, this is the first year of them moving the softball finals out of the Jackson area, which I think was a great move. So they're playing 1A, 3A, and 5A in Starkville, and then 2, 4, and 6A down at Southern Miss in Hattiesburg. So we've got teams in 1A and 3A. Let's start with Myrtle against Hamilton, an all-area matchup, Dalton. A bit unusual, but this year Hamilton, along with Vardaman, is now in the South, because that's what the MHSAA said. And it's kind of understandable because there are so many 1A teams, especially up here. We're kind of top-heavy on 1A, I think, in the north half of the state. So those teams get to travel very far. I remember Vardaman, I forget what round it was, Dalton. They had to travel, like, was it 4 or 5 hours just to get to a game?
Something
a playoff
like that.
Game?
Something like that. It was yeah. Close to it.
Ridiculous. And then they played Hamilton, which was a lot closer in the South Finals, and Hamilton won that series, and they're rolling. Myrtle is rolling, so those two teams will meet in the finals. Neither team has won a fast pitch title. For some reason, I thought Hamilton had. They've won some in slow pitch, and they've been to the finals several times in fast pitch. Never have pulled it off. This is Myrtle's first trip to the state finals. In fact, they beat Smithville in the north half, and that was their first trip to north half. So they're making some history there at Myrtle, and I covered that game too. On Monday when Myrtle went over to Smithville and finished off the sweep. Very good team. I mean, the little pitcher they have, I'm not sure if I'm going to say her last name right. It's Kaylee Strike. It's spelled Streich, I think.
I
prefer to pronounce it Strike because, you know, she's a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Not a strikeout pitcher, but she, and not a lot of velocity, but very good at moving the ball around and a pretty effective changeup. And she induced like six pop-up outs and six other fly ball outs. And so she just got people – she just had them off balance. They couldn't square her up much at all in that game. And Smithville is a really good program every year. They just didn't have their best series, but Myrtle had a lot to do with that. So Myrtle looking to win its first ever state title in fast pitch. I'm trying to see who else. Of course, they got Carly Bolden, their top hitters, batting over 600. They've got Kinsley Gordon, daughter of baseball coach Robert Gordon, up there at Myrtle, by the way. I ran into Robert at the game the other day. And several others that can hit the ball pretty well. So should be a good matchup. Hamilton has several who can hit. I was talking with Coach Brian Logue just this morning. He doesn't think this team is as good as the team that went to the finals last year and lost to Bogachita. And maybe they're not. In fact, he doesn't think it's one of the better teams he's had, but they found a way. I don't know. Maybe the South provided an easier path than in the North. But they made it to the finals. And, you know, it's basically, he said, it's every game it's somebody different at the plate that gets the job done. So should be a good matchup there. Wouldn't be surprised to see it go three games. I know Hamilton can poured on and Vardaman that first game, they won like 14-0. The second game it was 4-2. So, you know, they have the potential to be explosive there on offense. So anyway, that's the 1A matchup. The 3A matchup, it's Houston against Raleigh. I know nothing about Raleigh. I'm still trying to get stats from their coach. Houston, I've seen twice. So, you know, I know what they have. They've got Aquana Brownlee, who is an excellent hitter, an MSU commit. And in that series against North Pontotoc, they lost game one to North in Ekru, came back to Houston. Like I said, they played Saturday. Despite the rain, the field was dry enough. The outfield was pretty soggy, but the infield was mostly dry. Anyway, they win those games 1-0 and 2-1. I think that's right. Yeah, because Paige Kilgore, their pitcher, gave up just one run over two games. She's one of the best pitchers I've seen this year. And I mentioned Aquana Brownlee. She had the walk-off hit. North Pontotoc was leading 1-0 going into the seventh. And then things got a little bit wild, Dalton. They got the first batter got out. The next batter hits a pop-up to shallow left, and God bless her. I feel so bad when I see this happen. She dropped the ball, man. It was right there, and it just kind of one of those things where she had it, and I guess she didn't squeeze the glove quick enough and just popped out. And that kind of got the momentum going in Houston's favor. They ended up loading the bases. They had two bunt singles. During four singles, they had four base hits in a row. Two of those were bunt singles. One of them was a squeeze bunt that scored a run, close play at the plate. And then Aquana Brownlee steps up there in a tie game, bases loaded, and kind of she had hit the ball well all day, both games, didn't have a hit to show for it. She hits a little Texas leaguer over the shortstop's glove, and that does it. And Houston wins in a dramatic walk-off fashion. So very good team there. Very impressed with what they've done. And again, they'll play Raleigh in the 3A finals starting Thursday at Mississippi State. All right, Dalton, baseball. We've got the semifinals, as I mentioned, coming up. We've got four series that we're going to be covering. We've got Smithville and West Union in 1A. Smithville has proved to be a very, very tough team, Dalton. I think you mentioned to me before we came on the air there. What's their record in elimination games in the playoffs?
Yeah, just this postseason, they're 5-0 in elimination games. Backs against the wall, those kids can play.
Yeah, because I saw them lose game one to Myrtle a couple of rounds ago. They came back and won the next two. They did beat TCPS in game one this past week, but then lost game two. So they had an elimination game, and you went and covered that in Dustin Moffitt, man.
Threw a heck of a game, no-hitter. You know, you don't see a lot of no-hitters in the playoffs. You know, you see a lot of them regular season when you play,
right?
You know, kind of those terrible teams and everything, but
TCPS is a good team. They're young, really young. They start like five freshmen and an eighth grader, but they got a lot of talent, like Easton Hood and Kai Holiday and some of those kids. Cade Hall, he's a senior who's leaving. But a lot of good talent on the TCPS team. So that's a good series win for Smithville. And now West Union, a team I have not seen. I've seen Smithville a couple of times, but you've seen West Union, right?
No,
you've talked to their coach, and that's right. You did a story on West Union,
and this is going to be a good matchup. You know, they played twice in the regular season.
Right.
West Union won by one run in both games.
Yeah,
and West Union, I don't think they just have anybody at the plate that just kind of stands out, but they have Ryder Willard and I think Cole Phillips, who are just outstanding pitchers, and I think they're just two of the better pitchers in 1A and probably in the state.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what's carried them. I think both of them. One of them has 47 innings pitched. One of them has 53. I don't know if the complete stats are updated, but one of them has a 1.43 ERA, one of them has a 2.66. It's pretty effective in 1A.
That's not bad at all.
When you can beat Smithville twice in the regular season by one run each game, you know.
Yeah, and I'll be covering that series probably all the way through is what it's looking like. That starts Thursday. The baseball series, I'll start Thursday with game one, then Friday game two, and if needed, Saturday game three. So that should be a good one. This should be a good one in 2A, East Union and East Webster. East Union is actually, you know, we've talked them up a lot, and they've, you know, they've proved us to, proved to be a very good team, but they haven't made it. I mean, it's been kind of tough. They got taken to the really to the limit by Calhoun City. Again, went three games and had to come back in game three to win 5-3. And I forget who it was. They played the round before. I think they swept, but they were both close games, Dalton. So they've been in some tough situations, but they found ways to win.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one for them because you know they came out and they had to throw Joel Wilkinson in game three against Calhoun City on Monday night. So you know he's not going to be available for Thursday, I don't imagine.
Yeah.
So he's you know he's their ace. He's gonna probably have to throw game two, and then also Cade Bell, you know their star shortstop, is injured, and they don't know how long he's gonna be out for.
That's right. That's not good.
So he could play. He may not play. I have no idea. But I know I was reading tweets and thinking a story that he was injured. So you know they got a lot of pitchers. You know they're a really good team. They're gonna throw somebody else game one, I guess. Throw Joel game two.
Yeah.
And But that East Webster team, they can hit. I think they were hitting over 350 or 360 as a team. They had seven or eight guys hitting over 300 on their roster. So,
wow.
You know they're gonna have to. That's gonna be a good matchup to see East Union's pitching against their hitting.
Yeah, and East Webster's always good. And Wes Johnson has been the coach there forever. I went and just looked this up to jog my memory. It may have been the very first baseball game I covered at the Journal, or one of the first. It was the playoffs in 2004. Wes Johnson was the coach then as well for East Webster, and I remember getting lost trying to find the baseball field in Mabin, and I think I actually didn't get there till the second inning. And back then, you know, Dalton, we didn't have the iPhones. I had my Nokia brick phone. Okay. And I was I can't remember if I had to call somebody. I was able to find some kind of signal on the trace somehow in 2004 on a brick phone. And I probably called Gene Phelps to ask him to get me on Lost. But I remember I covered them playing Ingemar, and they won. And they've just been – they're a team that's in the mix every single year. Wes Johnson, again, does a great job. So that, like you said, Dalton, should be a heck of a series. 3A, Boonville, red hot, man. One of the hottest teams in the area. From late in the season to now, but taking on a very good North Pontotoc team that, let's be honest, maybe we're a little surprised they got past Houston.
Yeah, well, you know, from the beginning of the year and before then, Houston was the number one team in 3A. And
yeah, we admit we hyped them up, and they're a great team.
They are a fantastic team, and they, you know, they have a lot of talent on that team. But you know, North Pontotoc, sometimes it just, you know, you're playing well. I'm not going to take that away from them. They're a great, fantastic team too. Thing that kind of got me and kind of proved a point to me to them was, you know, they lost Corley Hooper, their number two pitcher, and he's just a stud at the plate, hitting over 500 at the plate.
Yeah.
They lose him in game one, and they come back, and, you know, he's out for the season now, and they come back, put Clark Mills on the mound, who is a fantastic athlete in every sport he plays in, and he hadn't thrown over two innings all season, or in one outing, all season.
Yeah, he was not a starter. He was a reliever.
And then comes in, does a complete game, not shutout, but a complete game over Houston, and just
clinching the game three clincher. And I mean, that Clark Mills, man, he's like you said, he's a great athlete. He's just a competitor. I mean, you know, he was our offensive player of the year in football this past fall, and just talking with him and his football coach Andy Crotwell, it's just, you know, there's something to be said for that. They're a guy who just loves to get out there and compete, and Clark just really thrives on that. I mean, that's what Clark said too. He's just like, I just like competing, which maybe sounds like duh, because athletes are supposed to love that, but I think he just gets a little something extra out of it and kind of motivates them, because like you said, he's been playing third base for him all year, been hitting the cover off the ball, and has not been asked to pitch in really any important situations to speak of, and then comes in an elimination game and tosses a complete game. That just doesn't happen with most kids. Most kids can't do that.
No.
Even really talented kids can't do that. He just, like, it was nothing, no pressure. He thrives on that.
Yeah, and, you know, that the next series with Boonville going forward, it's going to be interesting to see how he pitches, because, you know, he's going to move over to that number two spot, of course. You know,
right.
with that performance, he's going to have to. And North Pontotoc already beat Boonville twice in the regular season.
But as we mentioned, Boonville is rolling. We've both seen them in the postseason, and I saw them against Choctaw County. You saw them this past weekend.
Against Nettleton,
which is a good team.
And, you know, sometimes it pays off. You just want to be hot at the right moment, which Boonville is a very talented team.
No doubt.
They have a lot of talent on the team, but, you know, I don't think they've lost a single game in the postseason.
I don't think they have either.
They had that big comeback against Nettleton in game two, and – you know, they got out to see North Bontoc Houston in game three. So they're gonna be ready. Brady Witten's a heck of a pitcher out there. They can hit pretty well. One of the most sound fielding teams I've seen all season. It'll be interesting. I mean, to see how North Pontoc can kind of do with, you know, moving their reliever into the number two spot, and see how that pitching holds up against Boonville.
Yeah, like I said, you mentioned the defense. That's one thing that really impressed me. They had a big double play against Choctaw County in that game, that game where they clinched the series a couple of rounds ago. And so Kevin Williams doing a really good job in that game. It was Water Valley they beat the next round, by the way, and then Nettleton. So Boonville and North Pontotoc should be good in 3A. 6A, Oxford and DeSoto Central. Oxford, man, props, because a lot of people thought Madison Central was the best team in the state in 6A, and Oxford was like, nah. Beat him in three games. Really, it looked like a really good series. What was the final score of the last game? Like 7-6 or something close?
Something real close like that, yeah.
And DeSoto, and you saw them, Dalton, firsthand, and when they eliminated Tupelo. That's a team full of grown men.
Yeah, that's a team with, I think, 5 Division I signees on it or commits on it. Yeah, they don't play around on the DeSoto team. But, you know, Oxford beat Tupelo 2 out of 3 times this season, and everybody Tupelo was defending 6A state champs. And then, you know, they go to Madison Central, who's supposed to be the best team in the state, and they beat them 2 out of 3 games, win game 2 and game 3. So Oxford –
Oxford may be the favorite this weekend. I don't know. It's a toss-up.
I would imagine that Ballman and the Chargers feel a little more confident with this matchup than they did Madison Central. But, you know, of course, this is the North State, so you can't feel
– Right. And DeSoto has the home field advantage. Games 1, and if needed, 3 will be up there at DeSoto Central. So, again, all these series start on Thursday. Look for our coverage. We'll have people everywhere, Dalton, at every single place. Although Dalton is going to be out of town Friday and Saturday, he'll be not be part of the coverage all weekend. Something about his girlfriend graduating and a friend getting married.
Yeah, something not important like something, that.
Whatever. It's not exactly up to the level of high school baseball playoffs, if you ask me. But we'll manage without him. Let's talk some football real quick. We got some spring games that we're not going to be able to cover this week, Dalton, because, again, playoffs. But I did have a little something in today's prep notebook about that. Several of our better teams will be playing. You've got, of course, West Point is going to host a really good-looking jamboree with South Panola and Meridian. So that should be fun. That's going to go off on Friday. Again, that'll be at West Point. Thursday, Oxford is hosting a 6-team jamboree. Going to play 3 games over at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. And host Oxford will take on Clarksdale. That's in the nightcap. Also playing Tupelo is in that one, playing against Oxford, Alabama, which is supposed to be a pretty good squad. And then we've also got Hernando against Grenada. And then some of the smaller schools are playing, like Oklahoma is hosting Houston on Thursday. That should be a good one. Oklahoma, of course, Lamar Harvey was our coach of the year. And Houston had a really good season as well, but they're going to be without Uriah Shepherd at quarterback. He graduated. Calhoun City made the 2A North final last year. They'll be playing in the Jamboree at Faulkner along with Tishomingo County. So Calhoun City, always a good team. So that's a hand. There's more this week. Yeah, I think there were some last week. There's some next week. I think Ripley's hosting one next week, for instance. Trying to keep an eye on those best we can. Coaching news. Ashland has a football coach, Dalton. Christopher Suggs replaces Rolandis Cox, who left to become linebackers coach and head track and field coach at DeSoto Central. Suggs, this past year, was 8th grade football coach at Oxford. He's also been a head coach before for 1 year at Coffeyville. He also was an assistant there for a couple of years, a defensive coordinator. And he's also coached at Quitman County. So, of course, Ashland was in its first year as a program last year after splitting off from the Benton County co-op team that did really well. It was Hickory Flat and Ashland student athletes that made up that team, and they both split off last year. So Christopher Suggs, your head coach there. Let's wrap up the show with your athletes of the week. We do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments. Female athlete of the week, we mentioned her a while ago, Aquana Brownlee, the third baseman for Houston. She's a junior in that series against North Pontotoc that went 3 games. 3 for 8, 3 runs scored. The big hit was the walk-off RBI single in Game 3 to send her team to the state finals. So congrats to Aquana. And male athlete of the week, hey, we've mentioned his name too, Clark Mills, third baseman slash pitcher. Now he's a starting pitcher. The North Pontotoc senior in that series against Houston was 3 for 7 at the plate. 2 of those hits were home runs, Dalton. A couple of solo home runs. And then, again, as we mentioned, he pitched the complete game in the clincher. Gave up 3 runs, 2 of them earned on 5 hits, struck out 6, and walked none against a really good Houston lineup. So there you go. You're Prep Rally Athletes of the Week. That's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank y'all again for joining us. Again, coming to you every Wednesday. Usually new episodes drop on Wednesday afternoon. You can find out by subscribing in iTunes or any of your podcast apps. They'll notify you there. You can also stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. You can also find out about new episodes and other things to do with high school sports around here by following us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there as well at dlmiddleton8. I am at Bradlock, and we are done. We've got, like I said, softball and baseball to cover this week, and then next week, baseball state championship series starting on Tuesday in Pearl. We'll be there for that as well. We'll see about an episode next week, because Wednesday there will be games, so I can't promise an episode next week, but we'll see what we can do. See y'all next time. Thank you.